The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. It is the Wednesday, June 3rd edition of Talk Back, and I'm Peter Christian, Mr. Nick Christensen right over there. And we are privileged to have with us one of the guests that is a staple of our program, Walt Kiro, with Elevated Tax and Accounting. Walt, good morning, sir, and welcome.
Yeah, two sharp points, right? A staple?
Something like that. All right. So good morning, sir. And to all who are listening this morning, please know that this Walt's going to be with us for both hours, so from now until 10 o'clock. So if you have a tax question, if something's going on, maybe you got a letter from the IRS or a letter from the Montana Department of Revenue, don't know what to do with it, or you have a tax question, that's why Walt is here.
You bet. If you have an income tax issue or gift tax concern, or in some cases an estate tax, or one of my topics for Tax Talk, the California wealth tax, we will jump right on it.
All right. So there you go. Now, I understand you have basically this first part of the show to share with folks what's going on in your world.
Yeah. Since California's in the news with the elections last night, I didn't plan on it being such an appropriate measure. But this fall, the voters in California will have a chance to vote on a wealth tax.
Wow.
Well, that's been in the news lately because you got people like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk and all these successful entrepreneurs, if you will, are leaving the state. And why are they leaving the state? Because the attitude of the California government and so on and so forth is saying, well, you're not paying your fair share. We want more of you. So they're going to gouge wealthy people simply because they're wealthy, not because it makes sense. So, Elon Musk left a couple years ago, went to Texas, but there's been a flight recently, including Mark Zuckerberg, to Florida. So, why is that? And, of course, this wealth tax is one of them because it's going to be put in place if the voters approve it. But as I get into it, there's a lot of major problems with it just from constitutional standpoints, legality standpoints, and they're trying to make it retroactive, which in a lot of cases, even the U.S. Supreme Court and most people, and when I say most people, we're talking run-of-the-mill people, cannot stand the idea of a retroactive tax. And the reason why is
because it's not fair. For one thing.
Yeah, that's the big thing. It's not fair because how can you deal with it if, you mean I've got to pay this tax and I wasn't aware of it? It's like getting blindsided.
Well, one of the things most people do, especially if they've been around for a while and dealing with taxes, is they learn to plan ahead and that way set some things aside. And so you can prepare when that time comes. There's no big, huge surprises.
Yeah, I have a bottle of Crown Royal in my office just so when I have a client that gets surprised like that, under those kinds of scenarios, you mean I owe this? And when they don't have a clue, it's coming.
Right.
It's like a freight train hitting them. And so that's why I have the bourbon, although I've been lucky over my last 30, 40 years, haven't had to use it. But anyway, the point being is that, yeah, this wealth tax is also going to drive more people to Montana and Idaho. A couple of states you want to avoid is Oregon and Washington because they have similar problems.
We are coming up against a hard break here. 721-1290 is our number. We're going to continue with Walt Kiro. He'll be here with us all the way until 10 o'clock this morning. Our phone number is 406-721-1290, 1-800-568-5309. You're listening to Talk Back on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. We're seeing a nice break from the clouds Wednesday, although the extended outlook keeps shifting a bit. Sunny and warmer with highs back into the upper 70s, but clouds increasing later in the day with a chance of rain and possible thunderstorms Wednesday night extending into Thursday morning. Sun should return Thursday afternoon, and for right now, the weekend outlook has improved with plenty of sunshine Friday through Sunday. Highs around 80 degrees on Friday and the lower 70s for the weekend with lows in the 40s.
Welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. Good to have you along this morning. I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back. And, of course, our guest in studio this morning, Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Let us continue, please, sir.
Yeah, I do need to let people know in the radio listening audience, and welcome, Eastern Montana, we appreciate you, is that the first 20 minutes or so of the segments that I do, I like to have a little tax discussion where I can kind of go over a topic du jour and get into it in a little depth before call. So if you're calling in and trying to touch base, we've got calls on hold for the right time being. Anyway, to jump into the California Billionaire Tax Act, if it's voted on in November, it will impose a one-time 5% tax on the global net worth of any billionaire in California. And the point will be is out the, you know, the libs out there will jump up and down and say, well, that's billionaires. They can afford it. Well, yeah, maybe they can afford it. But what's the effect? Well, as can be seen, people are leaving California. And this will just emphasize it. And eventually, if government, the California government's notorious for this, if they get that money, they'll spend it as fast as they can get it. And then they will drop the billionaire tax to millionaire tax. And then what do you got? Then you're in a situation where you're stuck. So a lot of people are going to sense that and just say, I don't need to live here. I love California. It's a beautiful place, and it is. But with the government and their tax and regulatory function, it's not a pretty place to live.
Well, Florida's
from that aspect.
Florida's a beautiful place. Tennessee is a beautiful place. I mean, all these areas that are actively, you know, soliciting people to come to their states.
Yeah. Yeah, and of course, Montana's not soliciting these people, but a lot of them are coming here too, right. And I don't blame them. I mean, if you were in their position, if you were Mark Zuckerberg, would you stick around? Will they take 5% haircut of your assets?
No, thank you.
Well, yeah, and their income tax is one of the highest in the country, and their property taxes and their sales taxes and all that are all some of the highest in the country, and in a future show, I'm going to expand on that. And there's an underlying reason, and some of the policies that have been put in place in some of these states are the reason. But one of the big issues with this wealth tax in California, and bear in mind, a wealth tax is based upon a snapshot of what you own at a given date. And that's one of the problems with this proposal that was put together by a bunch of liberals who wanted to redistribute the wealth. And they are going to enact that tax on people who were California residents on January 1st of 2026. But here's the problem. The second aspect of that, they're not using January 1st as the measurement date of what you own at January 1st. They're using December 31st, 2026. So you have a one-year time frame between when you're exposed to the tax and then how you measure the tax. And so people are going to say, and rightfully so, whatever my wealth grew between January 1st and December 31st, that's not fair because that's a retroactive tax. And they're imposing it on the December 31st value. So, you know, I'm not an attorney, but when you get into legalities of these kinds of things, it raises a lot of questions. And based upon experience in the previous court cases on some of these issues like that, they don't like those different dates being imposed. And as you said, Peter, well, it's not right. That's not fair to impose a tax on me retroactively. And you know, that's just a problem when you start imposing these kinds of taxes on the citizens.
And this is when, as you had mentioned, that's when people start voting with their feet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I've mentioned before in prior months, if you are a resident of Washington or Oregon, you don't want to die there. And the reason you don't want to die there is because they have death taxes, both Oregon and Washington. Oregon exempts the first $1 million and Washington exempts the first $2 million. But if you die and your estate has assets more than those amounts, they'll start taking a haircut. In Oregon's place, it's 10%. And so, and it doesn't take much because included in your estate is your house. And in some of those West Coast towns, a house is $1 million. So anything above $1 million, in the case of Oregon, you get to pay that estate tax. And so it's bothersome. So again, those are kinds of things that draw people to you know, to get their feet moving and move to a different state.
And so again, Florida is very popular. Tennessee has made themselves through their own legislature a very tax-friendly state as well. And I'm sure other states are learning that lesson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, Texas is a big draw because they don't have an income tax either.
Right.
And so those are kind of the big draws. Wyoming doesn't either. So, but it's kind of interesting. From an income tax perspective, if you move from Montana to Washington,
right,
in the middle of a year, you are considered a part-year resident both in Washington and Montana.
Right.
Now, Washington doesn't have an income tax, but Montana does. But what happens in a lot of cases, your income gets prorated or is based upon when you earn it. So your income gets split up. But in the case of this wealth tax, for people who are only there a part year, they're going to impose it. And so that's another quagmire. So anyway, we're up against a break and we'll go for it.
We got about 30 seconds.
Oh, 30 seconds.
Go for it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, the other thing that's going to happen is what they call domicile. And, you know, when do you in fact prove you're a resident of state X and state Y?
Right. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number. We'll get the phone lines open here in just a minute for Walt Kiro and from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And we would love to hear from you this morning, especially if you have a tax question. That's why Walt is here. He is our resident tax expert from Elevated Tax and Accounting. We're going to come right back with more with Walt Kiro. We'll be back right after this quick timeout.
At mining. Life is full of moments, from first steps, first loves, moments that make life special. And life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis, which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you can join the mission.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's the Wednesday, June 3rd edition of Talk Back. Of course, our special guest here in the studio for the full 2 hours, Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. Please, sir, continue.
Okay, jumping right into it. If the proposed wealth tax in California had only to survive a rational basis scrutiny, it would simply be required to be rationally related to a legitimate government interest. Of course, this is my opinion, and my side note to that, is piracy a legitimate government interest? Well, for a lot of the people out there who don't like taxes, at least what we would consider confiscatory taxes, is that a legitimate government interest, just to tax somebody because the way the government allows them to do so? And so, but the reason why the drafters of this wealth tax in California wanted to lock in January 1st was to, quote unquote, lock in those taxpayers. Now, Mark Zuckerberg's taking a risk that by moving to Florida, he was still a California resident on January 1st. But because of those, the measurement date being December 31st and the residency date being January 1st, is just going to throw this thing into about a 50-year cycle of lawsuit. And, you know, is that something they want? Because they're probably not going to raise anywhere near the money they're projecting they're going to get out of it.
And if anybody could afford a lawsuit, it'd be somebody like Zuckerberg, especially if he's trying to defend himself.
Yeah. And finding a compelling government interest in restricting the movement of wealthy Californians, because we, as citizens of the United States, of every state, and all colors and nationalities and all that, have an inherent right. It's in our rights to be able to move to whatever state we want. And by restricting our movement, this throws up that flag. And that would be a good one for our dear friend Rob Nadelson to talk about, is having states impose taxes or other restrictions on the movement of its citizens, and whether directly or indirectly.
Yeah, not only that, you have to also wonder if you pick up and move, if they can tax you retroactively, mm-hmm. you know, from the time maybe the beginning of that particular calendar year, or they could find some way to take that money from you.
Oh, yeah. And here's a good one. This is from Justice Sandra Day O'Connor back in the day. She insisted that a wholly new tax, and there's no question this wealth tax in California is a wholly new tax.
And we don't mean H-O-L-Y.
Yeah. Okay. Cannot be imposed retroactively. Again, that's hitting on that thing. Even though such a tax would surely serve to raise money. She cited 1986, which reaffirmed the wholly new tax distinction. So if you have an existing tax and you make a retroactive law change, well, that's not nearly, that's a venial sin. But on a whole new tax, it's a mortal sin. So there we go. Anyway, I could go on and on about this, but that's enough. I think for people out there in radio land, the whole thing is that a lot of blue states are pursuing this, and they're pursuing this type of tax just to raise more revenue so they can spend it. And spend it on what? Well, like I say, I have some upcoming ideas on where that's going.
I have been watching reports about what's happening in New York City under Mondani, and millionaires and billionaires and property owners are absolutely fleeing from New York City to find some place where they don't have to pay so many taxes. And not only that, the rents at the various offices are confiscatory.
Oh, yeah. And they also have rent controls. And that's also being problematic because, you know, they talk about these landlords being the scum of the earth and this and that and the other thing. And, you know, there's small-time landlords who are just getting crushed by the regulatory system. And there's been a story recently about a lady who had a rent with a guy who had like 8 units that he was renting. And so it wasn't a big time building in New York City. But out of the kindness of the landlord, the lady was needed perpetual or 24-hour care. So a lady moved in with her to provide that care. The first party died. And the lady, the caretaker, came in, has never left, hasn't paid rent in like 8, 9, 10 years. And so the landlord's trying to get her out. But because of rent controls and all the regulatory functions, he can't get rid of her.
So he doesn't own his own building.
Well, basically, that's what boils down. Well, he doesn't own that one unit anyway.
Right.
So it's just, you know, it's the highway to hell that's paved with good intentions. And that's what a lot of these rules and regulations and taxes end up being.
Well, I know one of the main reasons Walt is here is to answer your phone calls and answer your questions about taxes. But this first portion of our time together is very important, where you get a chance to lay the groundwork and talk about some things that you have personally encountered in your business.
Oh, yeah. And this is important. I mean, wealth taxes aren't anything new, but they're new to this country. They have been involved in Europe all over the place. Spain's had them, France has had them, and they impose them, they take them off, and it's just they impose them when they get a shortfall in revenue. Anyway.
We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number, 1-800-568-5309. Our guest in studio, Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. We're going to return right after this on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Bragg with your updated forecast. We're seeing a nice break from the clouds Wednesday, although the extended outlook keeps shifting a bit. Sunny and warmer with highs back into the upper 70s, but clouds increasing later in the day with a chance of rain and possible thunderstorms Wednesday night extending into Thursday morning. Sun should return Thursday afternoon, and for right now, the weekend outlook has improved with plenty of sunshine Friday through Sunday. Highs around 80 degrees on Friday and the lower 70s for the weekend with lows in the 40s.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
"I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong."
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I like a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Being a family caregiver can be rewarding, but it can also be expensive. Search caregiver compensation programs at the AARP Foundation Paid for Care Hub, developed with support from United Healthcare. Visit paidforcare.aarpfoundation.org.
Hey, it's Talk Back on this Wednesday, June the 3rd. Peter Christian here and Nick Christensen taking your phone calls, producing Talk Back. And our special guest in the studio, Walt Kiro, Elevated Tax and Accounting. And the phone lines are open now, so let's get Dave on first. Dave, good morning. You're on with Walt. Go ahead, please.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I would like to talk about corruption. Corruption Donald Trump style. Okay, you know, Donald Trump is not in charge of his investments. He has a committee that invests for him, but he knows with reports on a daily basis what his stocks are doing, whether they're up or down, and he follows that closely every day. Well, a company called Palantir. Palantir. His stocks were way down. He was in the red big time. So what does he do? He gets on Truth Social, raves about Palantir, and drives the stock up, making money. Another case, he is invested in TKO Company, which is the parent company of the fighters that are going to appear on the White House lawn. So, and he's pushing that, and he's going to make money when the stocks go up on that company. So he is definitely using his position as president of the United States to push his stocks and make money.
Well, Dave, that's good, and you know we could always say that Nancy Pelosi is the ultimate insider trader.
You got it.
But the thing with Trump is most of Trump's investments are in real estate, and you know I've just heard anecdotal stories about his tax return being like 10 or 20,000 pages long because of all the limited partnerships that he's involved with that own quote unquote real estate. Now, as an investor, you usually stick with what you know. So I would expect, you know, Donald Trump's tax returns to have mostly income from real estate. He may have some investments, maybe through retirement accounts that he may have in stocks of various natures. But I would be surprised to see very much of his investment portfolio involved in these individual stocks. He is so busy, I doubt he has time to follow that stuff. Now, he may have people in yes. his company do that for him, but he himself, I don't know.
Well, he is. My facts are what you can disagree with my facts, but I've done my research, and he has done that. He does follow the stock market every day, and you know that. But I also want to know, what do you think of the sweetheart deal with the IRS that he doesn't get audited for who knows how long, and his son and his companies? I think that's a shady deal, and it should be illegal.
Yeah, well, it's funny you bring that up, because I was going to mention that when Rob was on the phone, but I just got too busy with other things. But I went into, and I'm having a lot of fun these days going through with working and researching with Microsoft Copilot. And the point is that I went in there and I got a copy of the actual settlement agreement between the IRS, the Department of Justice, and Trump. Now, the thing is you should read the actual settlement document, because the IRS audits that are stopped on Trump are in arrears. In other words, they're going backwards. So the settlement is there will be no more audits on prior years. Going forward, he's still subject to audit. So, you know, for what it's worth, it's very important, and I don't know where your sources are for that, but I was able to get a copy of the actual settlement document between Trump, his sons, and his organizations, and the IRS and the Department of Justice. The only thing that came out was noted yesterday by Todd Blanch, is that the alleged slush fund for people hurt by the government was that they're going to drop that from the settlement agreement. So Trump and his heirs and assigns aren't getting anything out of this settlement. No monetary benefits are being bestowed to them.
We got 30 seconds.
Okay.
Well, but I do say, well, what was he doing wrong in the past that he wants to avoid IRS scrutiny? That's my question.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll talk about it when we come back. And we have Randy waiting on the line as well. And we appreciate your call. We have Harry also. Stay with us. We're going to come right back with more of Talk Back. Our phone lines are open at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Again, thanks for joining us right here on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
This is our shared heritage, but today we're divided. Except for our love of wildlife and wild places, they and we call home. We are closer than you think. Learn more at defenders.org.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. So tell them today, I love you. Get screened. It could help save their life. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
Memories.
Old rock and rollers here.
Yeah, memory alley.
Rolling around the floor. All right, 721-1290 is our number. Welcome back to Talk Back. Walt Kiro joining us here in the studio from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And go ahead, please.
Oh, we got to finish up with Dave's
please
topic.
Please do.
Anyway, this had to do with the Trump settlement and his alleged slush fund and all that. I happened to bring my stuff that I was going to mention on TalkBack from Copilot. Anyway, what the settlement actually did, Trump dismissed his $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS for improperly disclosing his taxes. And that is a violation of law because you cannot use tax return information for anything other than filing taxes. So trying to cause political damage with his tax returns is not one of those safe harbors from the law. So there was some kind of an independent contractor agent of the IRS that disclosed his taxes some way, somehow. So Trump dismissed his $10 billion lawsuit. He also dismissed two other additional claims against the Mar-a-Lago search in 2022 and the Russia collusion investigation. Those were two other cases that he had filed. So all of those are dropped under this settlement. The government issues a formal apology for doing so. Now, that is not new territory. The government issued a formal apology to a fellow by the name of Ken Griffin. Do you know who Ken Griffin is?
No.
He's the guy that kind of took Mondami to the woodshed over this, some of the things he's doing in New York City.
Okay.
Anyway, there are no monetary damages to Trump. There was a creation of the $1.776 billion anti-weaponization fund. Yeah, that's true. That has now been dropped, according to the Department of Justice, the Attorney General, Todd Blanche. He's the acting one. And so let me see. What else? There's a potential tax liability to Trump, but we don't need to talk about it. And some other people were throwing arguments about emoluments clauses and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, if you go through that and if you look at the settlement agreement on those audits, the only thing that his settlement with audits are existing audits and audits in prior years. So that's the only thing that's going to be closed. Future years' taxes will be still subject to audit. So the other thing is, over the years, Trump was audited every year from like, who knows, from 2000 forward. Every year he was audited. So anyway.
All right. Let's jump right back in here and get Randy on the line. Randy, good morning. You're on TalkBack with Walt Kiro. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Randy.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. The wife and I are Montana residents for about the last 5 years now. We're both retired, received Social Security, and I have a couple of very small pensions that I get income from. I also have a very small part-time job that I receive a little bit of income. My mother passed away in March of this year, and my sister and I are the beneficiaries of her trust, and it's to be split equally. I'm going to be receiving approximately $600,000.
Sure. Well,
and
sorry to hear about your loss.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those things, you know, it's part of life, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
We did. My question is, do I need to be concerned about any potential income tax from that money from either federal or state of Montana?
I hate to use these two words. It depends, because these aren't the adult diapers I'm concerned about. It depends on facts and circumstances. If any of the $600,000 you're going to get from this trust, Randy, if it is income in respect of a decedent. I know those are ugly words. They're some of the most frightening words in tax accounting. But what that represents is that means if the $600,000 that you're getting was all from the sale of your mom's house, you wouldn't have anything to worry about. But if it was all from an IRA account or a retirement account, then you would have to be concerned about the income tax. So it depends upon where the money is coming from that constitutes your $600,000. So do you have any idea on that?
Yeah, she did have a house, but that was sold in 2021, and income taxes were paid on the profit that she had realized on that.
Yeah.
So that should be clear, and then almost everything was put into a couple of CDs that have been interest earning for the last 4 years.
Okay. If your $600,000 is, let's keep it simple for discussion purposes, if it comes from those CDs and it's from the house sale, you won't have any income tax consequence to that, except for any interest or dividends that investment has earned during the year.
Right, and that's actually going to be paid by the trust once the trust is settled and closed out.
Okay, yeah. Bear in mind one thing, Randy, and I do this quite a bit, on trusts. If there's very much income that has to be taxed, if it's above $15,000, you get hosed. And when I mean hosed, you pay the highest individual tax rate on the income above $15,000. So a lot of trusts and a lot of trustees will take that income and distribute it and let the beneficiaries pay the tax on that instead, because the tax is prohibitive. If you're married, Randy, you got to have like $450,000, $500,000 before you start getting taxed at 37%. So, yeah, it depends on facts and circumstances.
Randy,
is it something that needs to be reported?
Yeah. If a trust has more than $600 in receipts, it's got to file a return.
Randy, thanks for the call. We're going to come right back. We appreciate the call. Okay. We have Harry and Ed both waiting to visit with you, Walt. And phone lines are open. He'll be, of course, Walt will be with us all the way till 10 o'clock this morning. The number 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. We appreciate you being with us this morning here on TalkBack on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Please stay with us. Hey, my friend Jim.
75 years of research.
75 years of policy.
75 years of opportunity.
75 years of freedom.
This is 75 years of the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Join us at mda75.org.
Hey, this is Talk Back, and I'm Peter Christian, Nick Christensen, taking your phone calls this morning, and Walt Kiro joining us in the studio this morning from Elevated Tax and Accounting, and Harry is on the line. Harry, good morning, sir. You're on Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, good morning, Walt. Yeah,
good morning.
Just a real quick comment on the Trump making the deal with the IRS. That's kind of like a boss making a deal with his own company. It's kind of hinky. I mean, the whole idea of suing himself, and then he's going to make a deal with himself. But you were talking earlier about wealth tax. I only caught the end of it, so you might have covered this earlier. So, but isn't property tax wealth tax? I mean, you know, it's, for average person, their wealth is in their property. The only difference is that you can, you know, if you just wealth, you can get up, move, and take with you where property you can. So actually, the average person has gotten sort of the short end of the deal because, you know, your house, you can't take your house with you. You can't, you know. So, the idea that wealth tax is something new, and it's a little more fluid, but still, that, you know, the tax itself is, I don't see the difference.
Okay. Well, the difference is in this aspect. As you acquire assets, is that you pay income tax on the income that affords you the ability to acquire assets. So if you take the wealth tax, you know, in the case of the billionaire, they've been paying income taxes on the income that creates their wealth.
Yeah, but you pay money on the money you make to buy your house or land, too. So, I mean, it's still, I don't see the difference.
You can argue that because, in theory, a property tax is an ad valorem tax, and it's based upon the value. And so, yeah, it's a value-based tax, but what? The whole thing is in this country, we have not instituted wealth taxes. As a matter of fact, we have instituted property taxes to fund state and local governments.
Yeah, but you're just using a different word, because wealth and property can be the same thing. My wealth is my property. You know, wealth, it can be, so, I mean, it's, again, you know, it's a, you know, you're just changing the word, but it's the same meaning.
It has the same meaning, but the relevancy is that we, the government of the United States and all the various states, have not imposed wealth taxes in the past.
They have. Property tax is wealth tax. I'm sorry.
Well, you can go ahead and argue that all day, but I'm sure Sandra Day O'Connor will come back from the dead and say this is a new tax.
Well, but still, because my wealth is in my property. You can say it's not wealth, but it is. I mean, it's where I can borrow against it and stuff and that, but it's that's where most of my wealth is.
Yeah, it's a part of your wealth. If you own a house, if you don't own a house, then you don't.
Yeah, and if you don't have $1 billion, you don't have $1 billion. So
that's right.
All right, Harry. Thank you for the call, sir. And do we have time to get one more call in? Let's do that. Ed, good morning. You're on TalkBack. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Ed.
Yeah, hate to do it, but Trump again. Excuse me. He did file a lawsuit in the court against the IRS that he controls. And then made a deal with the IRS to settle it. The lady, though, I think she was a lady judge, did not act on it. And I think she reinstated the original lawsuit to open it up to see if there was fraud. Her official words to see if there was fraud in this whole thing, that it was a set up deal in her court, and she says no, not yet.
Yeah, she dismissed it from her court because the settlement agreement had already been reached. She did not have the chance or the ability to review the settlement. So. All that's true. But because the Trump side of the lawsuit dropped the claim for the weaponization fund, I kind of think that if you want to call it reparations, it's called a settlement fund. Had Trump known that the Congress already has an established victims fund, it's been there for a long time. Had they known that, they probably wouldn't have even included it in the settlement. So anyway, since it's been removed from the settlement, I think all this discussion is kind of blowing hot air.
Yeah,
it won't require congressional approval because it doesn't involve any money.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly.
Thanks, Walt.
You bet, Ed.
Thank you so much for the call. We're coming up on a hard break here at the top of the hour. And, Jeff, if you don't mind holding, we'd appreciate it. By the way, the phone lines will be open in the 9 o'clock hour. If you have a tax question for Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting, please allow him to use his 50 years of experience in tax preparation. Well, 53 years. There you go. So if you have a tax question, Walt is here to answer it today. He'll be with us all the way until 10 o'clock this morning. So we encourage you to get on the phone. Give us a call at 406-721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. And we're looking forward to getting all those phone calls filled. Jeff, if you'll hang on, we'll get to you right after the top of the hour break. And again, our phone number is 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Montana Talks Radio Network. Back after the top of the hour.
The views and opinions expressed on TalkBack are not those of the staff, management, or advertisers.
This is the Montana News Network's TalkBack. Join the conversation at 721-1290 or 1-800-568-5309 with producer Nick Christensen and your host, Peter Christian.
Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you along. Hour number two on this Wednesday, June 3rd edition of TalkBack. I am Peter Christian, Nick Christensen over there taking your phone calls, producing TalkBack every day. And we're privileged to have with us in the studio, Walt Kiro from Elevated Tax and Accounting, our resident CPA with, what, 53 years of experience now, right? Yeah. Is that correct?
And growing.
And growing. There you go. We love it. All right. People have been waiting through the break, so let's jump right back in. Jeff, good morning, sir. You're on TalkBack with Walt.
Morning, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Walt. Good morning, Peter. Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Montana. I was, as you guys, as I waited, I was thinking about the bumper music you played, Peter, and it reminded me of something I read recently. There was a guy who posted that 1 minute I'm listening to Stairway to Heaven in eighth grade, and the next day I'm enrolling in a Medicare program. Life goes by quickly.
I'm hip.
Yeah.
And, amen.
No, the funny part is somebody replied, well, it is a pretty long song.
Yeah, I especially like the drum solo in Enigata DeVita. It makes it really long. But go ahead, please. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just to get away from the Orange Man Bad theme that was kind of earlier in the show, I subscribed to a daily newsletter, and a couple of days ago they were talking about fraud in the U.S. government, and they said that they looked at welfare use by immigrants and U.S. born 2024. This was as of 2024, the most recent data available, and this fact popped out: the percentage of illegal migrant-headed households in the United States using one or more means-tested welfare programs. These are illegal immigrants using means-tested welfare programs, which they're not supposed to use. Can you guess how many, the percentage of households, illegal immigrant households that use those programs?
Oh, about 98.
Not your high. It's only 61%.
Oh, only?
61% of illegal immigrant-headed households are using U.S. welfare programs. And said, how can that be if it's illegal? Well, here's the answer, and it kind of seems it goes into what you were talking about earlier, Walt. Is it the job of those in the welfare bureaucracy is to help low-income residents. It's not, they don't care who they are. If you're low-income, we need to pay you. So the bureaucrats view their job as maximizing the number of people receiving handouts. There is no incentive in the government to reduce the number of handouts. They don't get promoted based on how many they reduce. They get promoted based on how many they give out. And so I just thought that was, I don't know, other folks might not find it interesting, but I certainly did.
Yeah, Jeff, I want to follow up on that because I alluded to this earlier as I'm developing some information in regards to states that are promoting these inheritance and wealth taxes, is that they have They're being driven to spend, and they're spending more money than is coming in. For example, Washington has 340,000 illegals living in the state, and that information is coming from estimates of the Census Bureau. And I'm going to develop more and more of that information because Montana is one of the few lowest states for illegals. And we'll come up with some more information on that because it hits on what you're talking about here.
Yep, and just to leave you with a another little tidbit.
Real quickly,
ICE gets demonized a lot, but there's an American Indian squadron in ICE whose job is to patrol the Mexican border.
We're out of time. We're going to come right back. Stay with us. So Talk Back will continue right after this timeout.
Support for Talk. Dennis Bragg with your updated forecast. We're seeing a nice break from the clouds Wednesday, although the extended outlook keeps shifting a bit. Sunny and warmer with highs back into the upper 70s, but clouds increasing later in the day with a chance of rain and possible thunderstorms Wednesday night extending into Thursday morning. Sun should return Thursday afternoon, and for right now, the weekend outlook has improved with plenty of sunshine Friday through Sunday. Highs around 80 degrees on Friday and the lower 70s for the weekend with lows in the 40s.
Hey, welcome back to Talk Back, everybody. Good to have you along. Peter Christian here. Nick Christensen taking your phone calls. Walt Kiro is in the studio with us this morning from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And Guy has been waiting very patiently through the break. Guy, good morning. What's on your mind?
Morning, Guy.
Good morning. Good morning, Walt. I got a question about... I inherited an annuity. My mother passed away the previous June. And They taxed it as they said the whole amount is taxable, but then when I called up to see if she funded it with pre-tax or after-tax money, they couldn't tell me because she transferred this annuity to a new company like 2 years before she died.
Yeah,
and they said they never got the paperwork whether it's pre-tax or after-tax money. It's a non-qualified annuity, so I'm being taxed on the entire amount. Because it sounds like, and then the previous company wouldn't give me the information whether she funded it with pre-tax or after-tax money, because they said I'm not the executor of the will, and we never opened probate, so and so. So, what would you do, you know, to try to find? I believe it's funded with after-tax money from her. But what would you do in this situation?
Okay, first I would raise hell. Second, I would not let them say to you, oh, we don't have that information or whatnot. The reason being is usually in annuities, part of it's taxable from the earnings, and the other part that's from principal is from principal that's already with, as you say, with post-tax dollars. So, you know, even though you weren't the PR or the trustee, you could invoke the help of the PR or the trustee and get them to get you the information, because that person is responsible to help you get the information for you to file your taxes. So if the value of the annuity is $100,000, and if $50,000 was invested in the annuity by your mom with after-tax dollars, you get to walk in her shoes. You get her basis. So then, and it has a big meaning to you because it cuts your proposed your tax bill in half. So I was being kind of facetious about saying raising hell, but I would not stop until I got an answer to your ultimate question. You said, how much did she invest in this annuity with pre-tax or post-tax dollars? And I wouldn't stop.
Okay,
my characters, I would never stop until I got that question answered.
Which company would be responsible? The company that held the annuity at the in the beginning, or the companies he transferred it to 2 years before?
Well, the company at the beginning, and the reason why I say that is because they're the one who initially got the money. Now, they could have thrown their records away because they no longer have the annuity. But in essence, they sold the annuity to the succeeding company. But absent that, you can go. Does the PR for the estate or the trustee have your mom's records?
A PR for the estate. I'm not sure what you mean by PR for the estate.
Well, who handled your mom's estate when they?
She named beneficiaries. She only had financial accounts, one at Schwab and one at this financial advisor, broker dealer. And then she's named beneficiaries, so we never opened probate.
Okay.
So we never, I'm guessing we never had officially had an estate because everything was dispersed according to her, how she named the beneficiaries. She had no real estate. There was nothing to open probate about.
Do you have access to all of her records?
I don't. No, I have limited paperwork and things from her. I did see that the previous company it came from, and then I called them, and like I said, they wouldn't tell me. They said it's because I was not the executor of the will and something like that. They wouldn't give me any information. So I was kind of, that's where I reached the dead end there.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course they're going to say that. Now, what you're telling me is, did she even have a will?
She did have a will. She named her brother as the executor of the will.
Okay. He's the dude that you talked to get the information. Now, he's going to run into a resistance too, but he's the man. He's the person in charge of your mom's affairs, including getting that information that you need.
Okay. And that's regardless of whether we opened up probate or not?
Yep. Yep. If your mom named him as the personal representative, he's the man.
Okay. Then it gets a little more complicated with family dynamics here. But I appreciate your help there, and I'll.
Oh yeah, and if one more question. And if I can, have him call me. I'll try to guide him through what's needed.
All right, I'll keep that in mind. And one other thing. I heard there was another option of getting IRS records of my mother's previous taxes, where this might show up in a previous tax filing. Is that true that if I requested her records from the IRS, one, would I be able to get them? And two, would this information be there?
Okay, your brother would have to request that because he's representing your mother. And you file a power. He would need to file a power of attorney on her behalf, and then you can gain access to the IRS records. And but that's only going to give you. Well, that would be helpful because if she was reporting the annuity, you would be able to get the percentage that she was reporting as income and percentage as being received as corpus, in other words, the non-taxable portion. That would be the easiest route if you can get that.
If I can get that.
You understand what I'm saying?
I do understand what you're saying. He'd be the one. The IRS isn't going to give me any information as her son is in this situation. Is that also what you're telling me?
Yeah, they'll give it to your brother. But he'll have to file a power of attorney.
It's my uncle. Right.
And we are, thank you so much for the call. We're running up against a break here. We appreciate it. When we come back, go ahead.
Yeah, just at the end, Guy, get a copy of her prior returns. And if so, you can get what you need.
You bet. We're going to come right back. 721-1290 is our number. 1-800-568-5309. Walt Kiro joining us from Elevated Tax and Accounting. He'll be with us all the way till 10 o'clock. So give us a call.
Montana State News Network.
I'm Dennis Bragg, and what is probably the biggest economic news of the year, Great Falls leaders celebrating a major announcement of a decision by a Washington firm to move some operations to the Electric City. As Nick Northern explains, it means hundreds of millions invested and hundreds of jobs.
Great Falls has landed a major economic development win as aerospace and engineering company Janicki Industries has chosen the city for a significant $800 million expansion project. The project is expected to roll out in phases over the next few years and could bring substantial job growth along with long-term economic impact to the region, according to local officials. We break down what's being built, why Great Falls was selected, and what it could mean for the local economy right now on our website. For the Montana State News Network, I'm Nick Northern.
Janicki Industries chose Great Falls over Twin Falls, Idaho, for a massive new 2 million square foot industrial campus. Montana Free Press says local officials secured the big investment by offering a 50% property tax break over the next 5 years. Governor Gianforte is praising the move, citing Montana's lower tax rates and robust workforce as key reasons the marine defense and aerospace manufacturer chose the Treasure State for its expansion. It's already been up to capacity operating out in Washington. The Grinnell Glacier Trail in Glacier National Park temporarily closed following a grizzly bear attack that left a hiker injured. Park officials finally releasing details on this. A 32-year-old man recovering from a fractured arm after the surprise encounter with a bear Thursday. The incident occurred in a snowfield about 3.5 miles up the trail. Rangers believe loud rushing water in the area prevented both the hiker and the grizzly from hearing each other before the charge. Nearby hikers quickly intervened to drive the bear away and administered first aid and called for help. A helicopter transported the hiker back to Logan Health Medical Center in Kalispell with non-life-threatening injuries. This is the Montana State News Network.
For more on these stories and others around Montana, download the Montana State News app.
As a parent, you said you'd never give up the convertible.
Look, the van even has its own vacuum.
You said you'd never stop listening to your music.
Dance, yeah. Do your happy dance, do your happy dance, yeah.
That's right.
You said you'd never schedule your life around a stuffed animal.
Nobody panic. Bun Bun is still at daycare.
You said you'd never give in to demands.
Two kids meals. And a chocolate shake.
And never put them in harm's way.
I'll be right back, little man. Just gonna pop in the store for diapers.
But never happens. And no amount of time is okay to leave your child in a car by themselves.
Long line today.
Temperatures as low as 60 degrees can be deadly for children left behind. So always bring them with you every time you park the car. Stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Talk Back. Peter Christian here. Of course, our guest here in the studio, Walt Kira from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And we don't like to keep people waiting on the phone too long, so Rocky is up next. Rocky, good morning. You're on with Walt.
Morning, Rocky.
Good morning, Walt. Thank you for taking my call.
No worries.
This last year's tax, 2025, I had to take minimum distributions for the first time, and I had closed an insurance account that had it was called a universal life.
Okay.
And so you could select the amount of dollars you wanted to on a monthly basis to invest in mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
So we did this, my wife and I, for each other, along with having a set dollar amount on a life insurance. Well, anyway, we cashed it in, and lo and behold, the insurance company sent a 1099-R to us.
Yeah.
And they put it all as gross distribution, so it all became taxable. But I had used after-tax dollars on a monthly payment, and so for 20-some years, I was putting $200 a month into this to buy mutual funds.
Mm-hmm.
When they gave me a gross distribution of $90,000,
yeah,
I said, well, wait, that's not all taxable. Well, how they did it in the box, they did it.
Yeah.
So my question is, it cost me a lot of extra money in federal and state taxes because of that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I paid a big tax bill this year, you know. Well, you know, an extra almost $18,000 in taxes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Oh.
That's kind of a great big whoops.
Yeah, and what I guess is that I had a basis of dollars going in.
Right.
And that this seemed to be null and void. It just, they took the gross amount and said, that's your taxable amount.
Yeah, but what you can do, and here's my question, that $200 a month, that was put in with after-tax dollars, correct?
That is correct.
Okay, if you can quantify the number of years that you put in the $200, what you're going to do is create what we call basis in that annuity or basis in that universal life. And so, you know, let's just use 10 years. So 200 is 2,400 by 10 is 20,400.
Right.
If it was me and this happened, I would be claiming $20,400 for, or $24,000 for basis in that distribution. And so then you would pay tax on the net. Now, if you've already filed the return and done that, you're going to have to file an amended return, and which isn't, in this case, it's not that hard. But what you would do is on the amended return is include your backup information, the source and the computations. And so what I like to do is make a copy of the withholding of the $200. So it's an example, but then you do the math, and you know, if you had 20 years of that, then we're talking 40,000. Now, was what the insurance company, was that a total distribution?
That was a total distribution.
Yeah, okay, perfect. That makes it easier, because if not, then you got to prorate your basis between what you got and what was left. So, yeah, that's what I would do, Rocky. Yeah, you can save yourself some money here, but you got to do your homework.
Well, I've already got a calculator, or had it calculated. I had it estimated that I was going to have a contribution amount or invested amount of $38,700,
yeah,
approximately.
Yeah.
And I never, there was never throughout the years, any type of dividend income, or I didn't ever have to report any income to the IRS in this investment.
Yeah, but it built up. It was all built up.
Well, it built up in two ways. The value of your mutual funds went up, and the dollar amount that you had invested increased. So, you know, it worked just like an IRA, but it wasn't. An IRA, at least I get a deduction, meaning, mm-hmm, you know I used after-tax dollars, but I get to reduce my taxable income for that year based upon my IRA. Well, I didn't do any of that. I never, ever, no monkey business about, well, I'm going to lower my taxable rate. Yeah. It was just that how they put the gross distribution in box one, and then they turn around and put the taxable amount is the same amount.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I went, holy cow, you know, and of course, during the year, do you want to have any taxes withheld? And I was thinking, well, this is capital gain.
Hey, Rocky, we're running up against a hard break here, so we're going to hold
you. Guys,
no.
Well, thank you very much, Walt.
Well, we can hold you over if you'd like. This is a very important issue for you, so if you don't mind holding.
No, he's given me the answers. I just got to go back and do my homework, but. Hey, thank you for having Walt on. This is a great show.
Well, thank you so much. We'll be right back. Stay with us. More with Walt Kiro coming up right after this quick timeout.
Hey, Boo.
Life is full of moments, from first steps, first loves, moments that make life special. And life can also bring us difficult and disruptive moments like a cancer diagnosis.
which is why the groundbreaking work of Stand Up to Cancer is so vital. They know the problem of cancer won't be solved by one doctor, one lab, or one hospital. It takes collaboration. That's why Stand Up to Cancer brings together top minds from different fields to find new and better treatments so patients can thrive. So when it matters, we can all show up for moments of a lifetime. Please join Stand Up to Cancer and Myrtle Beach to help families get back to where they belong, making new memories for years to come. Please go to standuptocancer.org to see how you can join the mission.
Being blind doesn't always look how others may think. Stargardt disease was supposed to define me.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
A blinding eye disease attempted to force me away from doing what I was born to do.
But it cannot stop me. I have the tools.
I will keep moving forward.
Pushing past the limits of this disability.
I know where to find support and where I can be seen.
Loss of sight won't blind our vision. Innovative research, educational resources, supportive community. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is leading the charge in finding treatments and cures for blinding diseases. Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
It's what we were taught, trained, and told to do.
It could be for anything. Helping a friend move.
Listening to a fellow veteran for hours, at any hour of the day.
Or just simply making time for people. A neighbor, a loved one, or even a stranger.
We're often the first to help others. There's no question about it.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When was the last time you reached out for help?
Perhaps it's time to do for yourself what you would do for others.
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Talk Back for Wednesday, June 3rd. Peter Christian, Nick Christensen with you. And, of course, Nick Walt Caro from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And you wanted to talk a little bit about our last caller.
Yeah, with Rocky. That's unfortunate set of circumstances, but nevertheless, I run into that two or three times a year. But what he would do with the amended return is also, after he computes what his basis was in that investment through that insurance company, is you would file a Form 8606 along with the amended return to establish that you have some non-deducted amounts in that retirement account. So anyway, that's just as a follow-up to it. That's just an administrative thing. But I wish him the best luck. He's entitled to that. So this is just an example of an honest set of circumstances where the government gets overpaid. And, you know, it happens. And there's some other ways that the government gets overpaid, but I'll discuss those at a future date.
I'm sure the government is not going to send somebody out in a uniform and knock on the door and say, here, this is what we owe you.
Not on your life.
Okay.
Not even close.
All right. So your stack of stuff, we barely touched it.
Oh, yeah. And in honor of July 4th, and, you know, I think people are just starting to warm up to the idea, hey, we have a 250th birthday here in a few weeks. So I got my 250 cap, We the People cap.
Cool.
So I got to work on a shirt. But on July 4th last year, Trump signed a bill to establish what they call Trump accounts. And so this year on July 4th is when they get activated. And just in the past week, the IRS has announced they have a form. The form is 45, 47. Trump account elections. So this is an election, and you establish the money, the account for the kids. Now, the Trump accounts allow parents, guardians, and other authorized individuals to establish a new type of individual retirement account for their children. An account established for a child who has not reached the age of 18 by the end of this calendar year in which the election is made and who has a valid Social Security number. So illegals and their kids who don't have valid Social Security numbers aren't going to qualify for this. A one-time $1,000 pilot program contribution from the Department of Treasury is available for eligible children born between January 1st, 2025, I'm sorry, I was missing here, and December 31st, 2028, who are U.S. citizens with a valid Social Security number. So be prepared, you know, if you want to establish an account for your kids and grandkids and whatever. The account, as I said, the form number and is now available online is 4547. And in there, it's mostly demographic information that you got to put in: names, addresses, date of birth, Social Security numbers, first name, middle name, last name, relationship of the child to the taxpayer.
Now, let me ask you this: if there's a child that's just been born, I mean, how does one go about establishing a Social Security number?
Well, usually before the kid even leaves the hospital,
okay,
they get a Social Security number.
Okay.
These days, when a kid is born, they just it's almost like an automatic feature.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah, they get them right away. It's not like when you and I were growing up. I didn't get mine till I was. I got it at 16.
Right.
So,
right.
Because I was working. And in order to work, you needed a Social Security number.
Right. You bet. So we are coming up against a hard break here in just a minute or so. But the phone lines are open, by the way. So if you have a question or a tax question for Walt Kira, maybe something, maybe you got a letter in the mail that's troubling you, and maybe from the IRS or the Montana Department of Revenue, you don't understand. Well, I thought we paid our taxes. Oh, my goodness. You don't have to panic, because Walt Kira is standing right here in our studio, a gentleman with over 50 years of experience in handling tax problems. And I will bet you that there probably aren't very many questions you haven't heard during that career.
Yeah, there aren't too many, but if they are, they're usually involving large corporation and overseas activities. That's one area that I just read about. I don't do any of those returns.
But. All right. So what we need to do is get these phone lines filled up. If you have a tax question for Walt, we'd love to hear from you at 406-721-1290 or, of course, 1-800-568-5309. And we appreciate every single one of you joining us and listening every day to Talk Back statewide now, by the way, as we are on the Montana Talks Radio Network. We're going to come right back with more with Walt Kira. Hopefully your questions and comments for Walt after this timeout. Talkback is
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
I'll trust water bottles and a flashlight to save the day, but I'll be proved wrong.
With a tornado approaching, I'll realize that I lack a wheelchair-accessible shelter.
When the floodwaters rise, I'll be up in the attic with 20 cans of beans. It's a recipe for disaster.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Blowing out your birthday candles should be easy, but if you have undiagnosed COPD, you may find yourself short of breath. Early diagnosis and treatment can add years to your life. If you have symptoms like wheezing or chronic cough, talk to your doctor and visit copdfoundation.org today.
All right, we are back on Talk Back. And again, Walt Kira, our guest from Elevated Tax and Accounting. And the phone lines are lighting up for you, Walt. So let's get Les on the line first. Les, good morning. You're on with Walt Kira. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Les.
Hey, yeah, hi, Walt. Hi, I just happened to
hear you guys. I'm driving into town, but I got a letter about a week ago from, looked like the IRS, because it had, you know, looked pretty real. And I asking, it had to do with, they couldn't put a refund into my bank account until I give them the information of my routing number and my, you know, the number of my checking account.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, President said something about a $2,000 refund from all the tariff stuff. But, you know, the more I thought about it, and then I tried to get on the little thing where they told us to get on the computer, and I couldn't get in, mm-hmm. in there. And then I talked to, I'm trying to think who was, a friend of mine. I clicked, oh, yeah, at the bank. I clicked on the actual form, and it was phony baloney.
Yep. This is a scam.
I clicked on the other thing to take me to their site, and there was nothing there.
Yeah, Les, I have a quick question before you go further. The quick question is, do you electronically file your return?
My CPA does.
Oh, okay. So you have a tax preparer. You have a CPA who prepares it. Do you use a direct deposit of refunds?
No.
Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing is when you, that is where you give the IRS your bank account and routing number, is when you electronically file, and your tax preparer does that. The whole point of that is to reduce the time the IRS has your money, and they can send you a check or they can do direct deposit. Most people, not all, but most people like the idea of having direct deposit. So that is the only place you give your bank account and routing number to the IRS is when you file your own return. Never ever give it out to any phony baloney, somebody with an official looking like paper. Now, I would can it or, you know, whatever. You could enlist the Montana Attorney General to see if they want to investigate this fraud, but that's a scam.
It sure is. They even wanted my Social Security number.
Oh, sure.
Mm. We can't deposit this check until we get your banking and Social Security number.
Wow.
I'm going, wait a minute here. I just, everything in me. I've been scammed before, so you kind of get leery after that. And as I investigated further, sure enough, it is a bunch of
bullcrap.
I'm going to drop the letter off that I got with my CPA.
Yeah.
So she can see it.
Oh, good. Good. That's a good thing to do, but don't act on it. That's for sure.
You bet.
No, I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
All right.
Okay. Well, good one, Les. Thanks for sharing.
Thanks for sharing that.
I just wanted to alert all the, you know, listeners that be careful of this, because it's coming in the mail.
Yeah. As we used to say back in the old days, the world needs more alerts, so be alert.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of looks official when you see it.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you just to,
oh, yeah.
Do a little investigation. You'll find out that it's phony baloney.
You bet. Mm-hmm. Thank you for the call, sir. That whole expression, fool me once, shame on me. Or shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. Right?
Right.
So anyway, let's, I think we have, let's get another call in. This is Vicki. Vicki, good morning. You're on Talkback with Walt Kiro. Good
morning, Vicki.
Hi, I just wanted, you guys were talking about Social Security numbers, and I'm almost 60, so like you guys, back in the day, we didn't get them until we got our driver's license and could work. Nowadays, my daughter just had an in-home birth, and that went really well, and that's what they do nowadays, and I get that. But when she, her husband went to the Social Security office with not the baby, just a form, he filled it out with the baby's name, and they took it from him and gave him a Social Security number.
Yeah.
No proof of live birth, no proof of anything. He said the entire office in Bozeman, Montana was full of, you know, you can't say they're illegals, but they're definitely not English speaking. And they're all in there getting the same thing. So now they get a Social Security number for a baby that was supposedly born, but you can't know that. And because of privacy laws, employers, we have employees, we're not allowed to ask if that Social Security number is really theirs. We're not even allowed to know what year that Social Security number was published. So if I come here from another country, I get to come in here, I just go in and say, my girlfriend just had a home birth. This is the name. And it could be my name, right? Like I'm Jose Garcia, whatever. And then you get a Social Security number with that name on the card. And there's no way that an employer would know that that was issued to a newborn and not a 35-year-old man.
Wow. A bona fide U.S. citizen.
That's right. And there's no way for them to do that because if it was born here, then it gets to be here, right?
Vicki, just a follow-up question. Does the county record and produce a birth certificate for that in-home birth?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Well, that would be
but
good.
That's after. No, it's not required to get the Social Security number.
Oh, it should be.
They got the birth certificate in the mail after the new card came. And I was like, to my daughter, and I said, this is a loophole that needs to be closed.
All
because,
right.
It, you know, there's if the employers can't know the date that that card was issued, like the card should say issued in 2026 or what, so that the employers would then know that this is not your card. This is just a card with your name on it because you said that there was a baby born with that name.
Vicki, we are running up against a hard break. Thank you for the call. We're going to come right back after this quick timeout. Please stay with us. More with Walt Carroll coming right up here on the Montana Talks Radio Network.
Are you a local?
Anyone can choose to make a difference. You can help people succeed, rebuild after disasters, protect the environment, or feed the hungry. Not only will you make a difference for others, but for yourself. You can earn money for college, learn career skills, and make friendships that last a lifetime. Make a difference. Choose your future. Choose AmeriCorps.
Hey, we're back. This is Talk Back on this Wednesday. Well, of course, Walt Carroll, our resident CPA from Elevated Tax and Accounting, here to answer your tax questions, of which Maddie has been waiting. Maddie, good morning. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Maddie.
Good morning. Always a great program. I have some tax consequences questions. I was married in the 80s, divorced in the 90s. I took the properties, and I have some bare land. And from what it was bought for, the agent has died, blah, blah, blah. I understand that instead of having to do bare land for bare land, I can do bare land for a multiplex. Up here in the Flathead Valley, hard to find anything that you wouldn't just have to demolish. So I'm wondering, what would be the tax consequences if I don't do a 1031 exchange, not having all that basis information from decades ago?
Before I made that decision, Maddie, because, you know, it could be, you're probably going to have a large capital gain. But the question is, how strong a stomach do you have in paying the man? So what I would do before I made that decision is do what I could to get that what you originally paid for that property and recreate that basis. Because you could have bare ground, but if you put a well on it, a septic, fences, all that stuff, you add that to your basis. And then you know what, you know, you probably have a realtor, you have an idea what that property will sell for. And then you calculate the capital gain. And once you have the gain, then you can calculate the tax. Now, it depends upon all your other income in a given year as to what that tax will be on the capital gains. So, but without knowing anything, the 1031 tax deferred exchange is the way to go if you have no clue as to what your gain or loss is. But you're going to need to develop that anyway when you go to file your return, even with a 1031 exchange. So that being said, you can swap bare land, because that's investment property, for a multiplex, which is rental. And that's considered investment or trade or business property, and it qualifies for an exchange. What you can't do is swap your personal residence for a multiplex and try to do that, because a personal residence doesn't qualify for 1031 exchanges.
Okay, so the other thing I was thinking, if I were to find somebody that would take my land as collateral while that person builds two tiny houses, a duplex on there, would that work? Because I would live in one of the tiny houses and rent out the other.
Yeah, you can do that. It gets a little interesting, but you're going to have to develop your basis in that land, because you're going to split the land costs between the rental and what you're going to live in. But yeah, that's doable as well.
Okay.
And that avoids the tax because you didn't sell anything.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And then one other thing, totally unrelated. I happen to come across an uncashed payroll check, and it was never turned over to the state for unclaimed property. Can I go to that former employer and say, here's the original check, never cashed, I'd like you to reissue it?
Oh, you can. I would try. And if they don't, you just say, geez, this isn't fair, because that was payroll. And payroll liabilities are given favor to employees in this state. And so usually, you know, it depends on how old it is, but I would try. I wouldn't give up on that. That was hard-earned money.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
Got it. And you called it payroll what?
Well, in Montana, even though it's an employee at will state, when it comes to these kind of issues, employees are given the benefit of the doubt in most cases. So, but the employer may have had some kind of limitations on how long they'll honor a check. But, you know, those kinds of policies have to be disclosed to you.
Okay, and one last thing.
Sure.
You mentioned Montana's a at-will state. I thought Montana was the only one where if you fire somebody, you have to give them a reason. When did that law change?
Well, there's reasonable, and, well, you need to talk to an attorney. Yeah, that's legal stuff.
Okay.
Maddie, thank you so much for the call. Walt, we're about a minute left in our time together. How do folks contact you?
Oh, they can contact me at Elevated Tax and Accounting. Downtown, 101 East Front in the First Interstate Bank Building, second floor, 406-549-2288.
Thank you for your great advice, sir.
Oh,
appreciate it.
Hey, great time. This went by quickly.
Thanks to all the callers. Mr. Nick, what's coming up tomorrow, sir, on TalkBack?
The first hour, we'll have open phones, and then from 9 to 10, the first half hour, it'll be Governor Greg Gianforte, and then from 9:30 to 10, it'll be Aaron Flint.
All right, there you go. And again, thanks to everyone for calling in this morning. And a big thank you, of course, to our resident CPA, Walt Caro from Elevated Tax and Accounting, always providing excellent tax advice from his over 50 years of experience in the business. So, and again, thanks to all of you. I hope you'll get out there and enjoy this absolutely spectacular day. And, of course, we'll be back tomorrow morning, bright and early at 8 o'clock here on TalkBack. And we hope to hear from you at 406-721-1290. Have yourselves a great day, everybody. We will see you tomorrow.